Good morning, church. Good morning. Well, welcome. If you're visiting with us or watching online, it's an honor to have you here. This is a very special day for us, one we do every year. Before we jump into that, I want to say a quick thank you. If y'all didn't notice, we had a new bass player and a drummer hiding back here. And that was Stephen and Haley Baird. For those of you who have been around a while, you may remember Stephen. He was single when he was here, and he married up. And he was back this weekend. Some of you also may remember Wesley Edwards, who was our worship leader. He actually got married last night, and so they're in town for that. And so they agreed to come play and hang out with us this morning. And it's always good. It's just fun to play with them. They're both excellent musicians. Kind of embarrassing to me to play with them, but they make us look good. And thank you guys for playing with us. Again, today's special because it's a day that, now, 8 years later, we're doing things with Project 216 that it's humbling, it's scary, it's awesome, the opportunities that God opens for us through Project 216. Looking back now, thinking about through the years of all the stories that we hear, a lot of stories that we can never even share with you guys. Because we do everything we can to protect the privacy of the children that Project 216 touches. But to hear those stories, and I know Melanie's going to share some of those stories, and I've asked her to come today and bring the message today and talk about Project 216, because it's not only a passion of hers, she runs the day-to-day operations of anything that needs to happen with Project 216. And so I'm going to let her share, because she'll just do a much better job than I. But you need to know, it all started 8 years ago with one gift that I had a conversation with the lady who was Emma's physical therapist, or occupational therapist, at the school, and she began to talk about children she had that she worked with every day, and they would wear the same shirt, shoes, pants, underwear, socks, everything, every day. And I asked her how she knew it. She said one day she just started kind of keeping track, putting a little dot on them as she was working with them on their clothes, and realized they were wearing the same thing for months on end. I know a lot of you have kids, and kids are tough on clothes. Can you imagine wearing the same thing every day? It just doesn't last. And so when I was sharing that story with a friend here at the church, and didn't think anything about it, and several days later, this man came back with a $500 check. And said, I was thinking about what y'all said. Because in the story, as I told him, I said, I feel like we need to do something, but I don't know what. Because we can stand in our parking lot, and if you got a good arm, you can almost hit the elementary school with a rock. Now, don't try it, but it's not that far. And so as I began to think about it, the man came and challenged me. And he said, here's $500. Go buy t-shirts and do something about it. And from that one gift, Project 216 was born. And I know Melanie is going to share some of the numbers and stats and things with you, but it's mind-boggling that the privilege today that God's given us. I know, and Melanie is going to introduce them too, I think. We've got a lot of school officials that we invited. I will like to take 1 second and take the privilege of thanking Dr. Thompson. Dr. Jim Thompson, our school superintendent, is here with us this morning. Thank you for letting us be a part of the school system, touching kids and reaching kids that we truly believe we're not only making a physical difference, but I believe we're making, it's what I like to say, that what we do here is going to show up in heaven with us, that we're making an eternal difference in these kids' lives, planting seeds of love in places where kids don't feel loved, where they don't feel provided for, they think nobody cares about them, and we're filling those voids. So again, without any further ado, if you guys will give Melanie a hand, I'm going to ask her to come and share with you about Project 216.
Good morning. I'm really excited to be here. Clint told me to come up with him so he didn't have to give me a special introduction. I don't know what that means, but I'm just happy to be here this morning. And this, honestly, I know Lauren talked about it too, but this is one of my favorite Sundays that we have, because it's a day where we get to actually put our faith into action. into something that actually makes a difference. And it's our opportunity to take God's love outside of these walls and into our community in a big way. But it's also a day we get to get together and actually celebrate what actually has gone on for the past 8 years. So that's what we're going to do today. Because what has happened is a group of people got together and just decided to trust God and take a step. We had no idea what the outcome would be. We just thought, God, we're here and we're willing. And I think if we would just show up and say that to God, that he can do things that are far beyond what you can imagine. You just have to trust him. So like Clint said, we started with one purchase for one school 8 years ago. And we really wanted this to be more than just a one-time thing. We didn't really know what it was going to be, but we thought, you know what? If this is something that's going to continue on, then we should probably give it a name, not just call it that thing we do. So we were kind of praying about it, thinking about a name. And one day we read James 2:16. And if you look at it, starting in verse 15, it says, "Suppose you see a brother or sister who has no food or clothing, and you say, goodbye, have a good day, stay warm, eat well, but then you don't give that person any food or clothing yourself, what good does that do?" And that scripture just began to kind of roll in our hearts, and we thought, you know what, we'll call it Project 2:16, because it's the very next verse that says, "Faith without works is dead." I don't want to have a dead faith. How about you? We need to be doing something with it. But I've realized something, even in my own life as a Christian, it's really easy when somebody has a need to just say, "Oh, bless you, and I'm going to pray for you," right? That's what we kind of default to as Christians. But truly helping the less fortunate takes a little bit more effort than that. Prayer is important. Blessing the people and noticing the need is important, but you have to put some effort into it. So that's what Project 2:16 became about. And we at Believers Church decided we would take what little we had and offer it to God to use, and he sure has. You know, 8 years later, it isn't just in the elementary school. We expanded it to the middle school, and then we expanded it into the high school. And we determined our goal was going to be this. We wanted to help meet the physical and educational needs of the kids of Screven County, period. Leave it at that. But here's the truth about it. We could have the best intention and the best heart to do that, but we can't do it alone. There's no way we could get everything here and distribute it into the schools. So like Clint mentioned, we have some special guests here today who actually help make Project 2:16 happen within the school system. So if you are part of the school system in any form, if you're a teacher, administrator, counselor, if you wouldn't mind just standing up for a minute, I know most of you hate that, but I would appreciate it. Now I want the rest of you to just look around and see these faces, because we're not able to show you a video of all the kids that we help, but these are the faces of people that are on the front lines in our schools. These are the people that are seeing the needs and hearing the stories day in and day out, and they're on the front line. So I would like you to just give them a hand. We thank you. You can be seated. But we couldn't do it without them. We could gather everything up, but they're the ones that make sure that it's getting to the right places. They're the ones that are coming to us and letting us know what the needs are. So we wanted to just have some faces here for you to see. And you know what? We've gone to the counselors at every school, just to give you a little background into how it works. We've told the counselors, any need that you see, give us a call. And we've left it open-ended as that. And we figured out, you know what? We could do something for the schools. We could say, hey, let's gather up 1,000 pencils and donate them to the elementary school. What if they needed 1,000 crayons? Right? We don't know the need that is in there. So we went to the people who are right on the front lines and said, you tell us what you need, and then we'll make it happen. So that's the idea of Project 2:16. Before it started, you know, the faculty and staff, when they saw a need in a kid, they basically had two options. They could let the child go without, or they could try and fund it and pay for it themselves and take care of it. And so I'm just excited they don't have to make that choice anymore. they're able to call us and let us help them. And because of your generosity, the counselors have gotten every single thing that they have come and asked for. And I think that's pretty amazing. Turning from just giving a couple of t-shirts, yeah, give yourselves a hand for that. Because it's turned from just a couple of t-shirts into anything that they can come up with, we've been able to provide. And that's, you deserve a hand, but God deserves the glory for that. Amen? So we're just trying to follow him and serve him. But it shows what God can do when a group of people are willing. And even better than that, I think, because we were willing to step out as a church, we now have other churches that support Project 216. They take up offerings in their churches and send it to us because they've seen what is able to be done. There's organizations and businesses here in town that support Project 216. So I think that's amazing because it's moved outside of our walls and become a community effort. And the bigger amount of people that are involved, it exponentially is able to do more and meet the need. So I wanted to give you this morning just a few examples, a few stories of kids who have been touched by Project 216. One of them, there was a student in one of the schools who not only didn't have a bed, didn't have a couch, but actually was sleeping, sitting in a chair every night. And so you can imagine, this child came to school very tired. They were easily agitated. They were unmotivated to do any work at school. And so after Project 216 heard about that, we went out and we were able to purchase an electric inflatable air mattress for them, some sheets, a pillow for this child, and we packed it all up inside a plastic container and delivered it to the school. And the counselor told us afterwards, when they gave it to that child, you could instantly see just a glimmer of light in their eyes. And they were so excited to have a bed to sleep on. I mean, how many of you, that's a thing that I've never had to think about. I've never had to think about not having a bed. But they said also the kid was so excited for the plastic container that it was packaged in. And because they would finally have a place to put their personal belongings, their own little space. And so that's something that Project 216 is doing. There's another student that was coming to school every day in one outfit that was too small for them. And not only was it too small, it was actually just an old pair of pajamas. And the child was wearing this every day to school. How many of you would feel confident and at your best if you had to wear tight pajamas every day to work and out into public? Nobody, right? So we heard from the teacher about that, came through the counselors. We were able to go and get this child some outfits in the correct sizes. And the teacher actually came to us a week later and said, "It's amazing, but this child's whole personality has changed since getting those clothes. They used to be withdrawn and they were quiet. And now they're actually talking to other people. They're interacting with other students. They're smiling. They had never smiled before just from a couple of pairs of clothes." That's the difference that can be made through Project 216. And there's so many stories out there, but I just want to give you just some statistics of what's been done since we started Project 216. We have been able to give about 1,800 school t-shirts out, over 100 pairs of athletic shoes, over 775 backpacks, 400 pairs of socks, hooded sweatshirts, coats, scarves. We've met technology needs, a bunch of earbuds and flash drives. We've given scientific calculators to the high schools, and then the normal school supplies, notebooks, folders, paper and pencils. We give deodorant and toothbrushes, hairbrushes, and toiletry items. We actually have given mirrors to students. And this is why I love Project 216, because I never once had a thought, there may be kids out here in the county that don't have a mirror in their house. They may not be able to check what they look like before they head out to school. And so when we were told about that, we were able to go get some mirrors for kids just so they can make sure their hair's done, their teeth are clean, because that's important. We've given graduation cap and gowns to the high school so they can loan it out every year, and also given ties and shirts and belts and dresses for the seniors who are graduating. Because how many of you know, if a kid reaches graduation, they deserve to be celebrated, number one. And number two, they don't deserve to stress about providing everything that they need just to walk across that stage. So if we're able to take that away from them, I think that's a win. So we've done that. We also started doing gift cards for teachers because teachers use their own resources a lot of times. And so the first faculty meeting of the year at each school, we go in and we do a drawing for some Amazon gift cards so that the teachers can be blessed. And besides all of those things, for the past 2 years, we've been able to sponsor an eighth grader for the REACH Scholarship Program. And so this is something a little new we've been doing, but in a nutshell, if a student sponsored for $1,500, by the time they graduate high school, they head to college with a $10,000 scholarship. And I think that's pretty amazing. That's a good return on an investment. So, but what that does, that allows kids in our county who never had a thought of being able to go to college to actually begin to dream a little bit and to apply themselves and to go from 8th grade through 12th grade planning to go to college. So I think that's pretty amazing. We have kids in our county who don't have food at home, sadly. They come to school, and Monday through Friday, they get breakfast, they get lunch. But when they go home, they have Saturday and Sunday where they may not have food. So we joined in with a weekend food bag program that was at the elementary school, and then we expanded to the middle school, and then last year we actually expanded it to the high school. So kids that need it are able to take home good-sized bags of food on the weekend and have something to eat. And just last year, we delivered over 1,000 food bags to the schools. And so with all the food that's inside, I always like to think about it. There's 2 cans of ravioli or canned pasta of some sort. If you add all of that up, you gave away over a ton of ravioli last year. So I think that just kind of brings home what you were able to do. So I think that's amazing. And so I checked the numbers, and in the past year, Project 216 was able to invest $11,000 into the kids of Screven County. Give yourselves a hand for that. I know we're doing a lot of clapping today, but to go from where we started 8 years ago and turn it into that, I had no idea it was going to do that. I don't think anybody did. But that's amazing for this group of people and for this community and the other churches and organizations to be able to join together and give that much money into the physical and educational needs. So all those statistics, they're wonderful. It's exciting to get up here and share them with you. I know you don't get to see as much as the ins and outs of it as I do every day. But I think if we just take today and we pat ourselves on the back and clap for ourselves and give each other little thumbs up and high fives and throw some money in the bucket at the end of service, then we've missed out on something really big. Because that's not what this is all about. We need to really understand today, and I want you to leave here today understanding the real reason Project 216 is so important. And it's this: true Christianity is proven right outside these walls. True Christianity is proven right outside these walls. Because it's pretty easy to be a Christian inside these walls, right? We have coffee. Anybody else out there? Better human being if you drink coffee in the morning? Right, there's a few of us. So we have coffee here. It's easier to be a Christian, we have coffee. Inside these walls, we've got loving, friendly people. Shout out to all of our ushers and our greeters who are here. We have an amazing worship team to help you enter the presence of God. For those of you who have kids, we have a wonderful nursery and kids' church dream team next door, so you can go over there, drop your kids off. You know they're going to be loved, taken care of, taught the Bible, and then you get to come over here and take a little bit of a break, right? So it's easy to be a Christian inside these walls. But I believe God has set each and every one of us in a specific place in this community and in this county. And the series we're doing right now is called All That Matters. And honestly, what matters is what's happening on the other side of those doors. What goes on in here is great, but what really matters is what's happening out there and what part we're playing in doing something with that. Our local community is out there, And they have some physical needs, but they also have some spiritual ones as well. And I want to look at Isaiah chapter 58 for a minute. To give you a little bit of background on this scripture, the people of God at this time were in need. And so they came to God, and they were trying to impress him. And they were doing things to move God with their holiness and with their fasting. And God wasn't having it. So this is God talking in verse 2. And it says, "Yet they act so pious. They come into the temple every day and seem delighted to learn everything about me. They act like a righteous nation that would never abandon the laws of its God. They ask me to take action on their behalf, pretending they want to be near me. We've fasted before you, they say. Why aren't you impressed? We've been making it so hard on ourselves, and you don't even notice, God." I'll tell you why, God responds. "It's because you're fasting to please yourself. And even while you fast, you keep oppressing your workers. What good is fasting when you keep on fighting and quarreling? This kind of fasting will never get you anywhere with me. You humble yourselves, go through the motions of penance, bow your heads, dress in burlap, cover yourself with ashes. Is that what you call fasting? Do you think that will really please the Lord?" And see, on the outside, I think this people probably look like true believers, and they expected God to be happy with their appearance and the work that they were putting into being holy. But God goes on to say in verses 6 and 7, "No, this is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly imprisoned. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from your relatives who need your help." We'll leave that last little bit about the relatives out of there. You can take that for what it's worth for yourself. But the rest of that, that describes Project 216. Share your food with them. Give clothes to them. The thing that truly pleases God is to be generous. It's not just the holy actions that I take on. He wants to see me actually reaching out to his creation. Do you know that he cares about the souls inside of each and every person that's less fortunate out there? And if he cares about them, I should care about them as well. It's not about how we just act holy and what we do in here. It's what we go out there and do. And be generous and take our Christianity outside. But when we do that and we begin to take care of those less fortunate, we begin to see that generosity heals my life. It heals my life when I'm generous. Isaiah 58:7 just told us to share food with the hungry, give clothing. But it says right after that in Isaiah 58:8, it says, "If you do those things, then your salvation will come like the dawn. Your wounds will be quickly healed. Your godliness will lead you forward, and the glory of the Lord will protect you from behind." So you being generous helps take care of you. All these things happen to us. We always think about generosity affecting the other person, but anybody in here have any wounds that they want to be healed from? Anything happened in your past that's gone on that you carry with you? How many of you want God to have your back? Anybody want your God to guard you from behind? Be generous, and it promises that this will happen. So this is kind of how I picture it when I was thinking about this. I've got a backpack here, and this is actually one of the ones that we'll give to Project 216, but I was thinking about wounds and burdens and past and the things in our lives. And every morning when we get up, we strap this thing on and we carry it around with us. Does everybody do that, right? We think about things. It starts to consume our thoughts. So we're carrying this thing around with us everywhere we go. We've got it strapped on tight. These are our wounds. These are our burdens. And God's trying to get in and help us. But I've got a barrier between me and him. I've got something on my back. God wants to protect me from behind, but I've got something in between me and him. It's the things I'm carrying around, my wounds, my burdens, the things that are bothering me, the things that consume my thoughts. But you want to know one of the best ways to get rid of this? Stop focusing on it and start looking for somebody else that you can help. When we start to turn our eyes outward and go, I can do something for that person. I can make a difference in that person's life. I take the focus off of my needs and my problems, and it begins to go away. And I realize, you know what? I've gone all morning, and I didn't even think about that because I was so focused on reaching somebody else. And that's how we have to think about it, because what it does, when we're generous and we take our eyes off ourselves, it gives God room to move on our behalf. It takes off all the stuff that's a barrier between me and him, and it allows him to come in and be strong for me. You know, we sang today about, God, nothing's impossible for you. But if I'm focused on my burdens, if I'm trying to do things in my own strength, you know what I'm telling God? Well, nothing's impossible for you except this. Pretty sure you can't help me with this one, God. The more that I focus on it and try and fix it myself, it's me telling God, you're not quite big enough to handle that for me. You're not quite unstoppable. This problem I have, this can stop you. That's not true. And the way to get your focus off of that is to begin to picture the needs of other people and take care of the needs of other people. So being generous can actually heal us, but it's also going to affect those that we are showing generosity to. We'll get a little clinical with you here. It's been shown that when your human brain detects a physical basic need, if you need food, water, shelter, basic needs, there's a reflex response that takes over in your brain. And that brain decides its first job and its primary goal is survival. That's all it's worried about. And so what happens, it begins focusing on basic needs, and it's no longer good at taking in information and learning and participating in life, because all it wants to do is take care of its basic needs. So if you think about it, think how that affects a child at school. If they're worried about where their next meal is going to come from, if their clothes don't fit or they're dirty and their shoes have holes in them, then their brain is going to focus on that. They could care less about math or about spelling or reading or any of those things. Their brain can't focus on it. And it's been shown that kids who are stuck in poverty and dealing with hunger have a much lower chance of succeeding in school. It's just been proven. So the first goal of Project 216 is to give them a fighting chance at success. We take care of the physical needs, the educational needs, so that they can succeed. But I really believe our generosity does something else. And it goes beyond that, and it opens their hearts. It opens their hearts. And there's a saying that people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And when they're in need, with a physical need, they don't care about a Bible verse. They don't care about you sending them your favorite worship song that's on Christian radio right now, because their brain is focused on their need. They can't get past that. And so what we do with Project 216, we take care of those basic needs so that they can actually begin to think about their need for a Savior. And when you look at the stories of Jesus in the Bible, Jesus did the same thing. I think he took care of a person's physical need before explaining the things of the kingdom to them, because he knew generosity was a way to open their hearts to what they really needed to receive. You know, when he had a group of 5,000 people sitting around and they were hungry, he didn't just keep teaching them and go, no, what I'm telling you, just listen to me, just listen. What did he do? He went out and got food for them. When somebody was blind, he didn't try and preach at them. He took away their blindness. He healed their basic needs and took care of their basic needs so that their heart would be open to what he wanted to tell them, and they'd be able to follow God. So Project 216 just follows that idea. We want to take care of basic physical and educational needs so the students, and then in turn their families, realize they actually have value. There's people out in our community who feel like nobody sees them. They feel like nobody cares. And when their kids begin to be taken care of by this, they begin to realize there's a human out there somewhere that actually sees the need that I have. There's a human out there somewhere that actually loved me enough to get this for me. And once they believe a human can care about them, I think the next step is believing that God can actually care about them, that God actually sees their need and is providing for them. And once they have that knowledge, it'll not just change their life here, but it'll change their eternity. So Project 216 does that. So if generosity heals me and it can open hearts and change individuals, I really believe what eventually happens with generosity is it changes our community. Here in Sylvania, here in Screven County, we can make a difference in our community by going through this process. We have no way of knowing the final outcome of this. Just like we said, we didn't know that buying a couple t-shirts would turn into what it has. We don't know what helping take care of students and giving them a fighting chance at success will turn into. But I do know that if they can encounter God and grow into adults, that they can change Screven County. They can change what goes on here. They can break the cycle that they've grown up in. And all it takes is us playing our part. If we each do our part, if we each do the role that we are to play, then the end result is bigger than we can even imagine. You know, if you give $5 today, that $5 can be taken and enough food can be bought to fill a weekend food bag that somebody else goes out and purchases the food for. And then another person takes that food and they gather it into a bag. And then another person takes that bag and they deliver it to the school system. And then in the school system, they take that bag and they hand it off to the kid. And the kid goes home with that food and they don't spend the weekend hungry and they can come to school ready to learn on a Monday. And because of that, they can graduate. And because of graduating, they can get a good job. And because of getting a good job, they can be an individual who actually does things for our community. The cycle just keeps going, but it's a good cycle this time. And it just takes everybody playing their part. If anything falls along the way in that chain of events, the end result doesn't happen. So somebody's got to give, somebody's got to put stuff together, somebody's got to deliver it. And we each have a role to play. And the great thing is, no role is more important than anybody else's. As long as I'm doing my part, that's all I'm called to do. If it's to give money, I give money. If it's to pack a food bag, I pack a food bag. If I have to stand up here and talk about it to all of you, then we do that. But no role is more important than anybody else's. You just have to do what you have been asked to do to make a difference. We had no idea that it would turn into this. But generosity, I think, it heals me, it opens their heart, it changes our community, but generosity also requires a decision. It requires a decision. I mean, it's pretty sad to say, but you don't just stumble into generosity. If you think about it, all of us are naturally inclined to think about myself, right? Generosity is not something that I just, oh, look at me, I just did that and I didn't even realize it. It requires a decision. You have to be intentional about it. And I have to make a choice to make a difference. If you look at 2 Corinthians 9, 6 through 8, and it says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Well, it's pretty easy to be cheerful when you're giving to something like Project 216, and you can see the difference. It's something that you can be cheerful about. But this verse also says, what should you give? What you decided in your heart to give. Not what I stand up in here and guilt you into doing, but it's what you decide inside your heart to give. That's all you're required to do. So that's exciting to me. God understands that each of us plays a part to make a difference. And I read a quote this week. It was by John Acuff, and it talked about this idea of making a decision. And we're talking about all that matters. And so I just want you to listen to this for a minute. If at the end of my life, the only thing I've accomplished is a comfortable life, my days have been wasted. If at the end of my life, the only thing I've fought for is my own name, my days have been wasted. If at the end of my life, the only thing I've cared about is my own care, my days have been wasted. If at the end of the life, the only thing I've stood for is my own reputation, my days have been wasted. If at the end of my life, the only thing I've traded are works for rewards, my days have been wasted. May we not go to the grave quietly. May we not make refuse of the gifts we have been given. May we never chase the shiny in place of the holy, the trend instead of the truth, the immediate instead of the eternal. Arrive empty to the grave, having given all you were given, stewarded all you were tasked with. Give the grave only bones. Just think about that for a minute. I think sometimes we're real quick to say, oh, you can't take it with you. You know, talking about our money and our stuff, we know we can't take it with us. But I think it goes beyond that. I think we need to be able at the end of our life to say, everything that I was supposed to do, the talent that I had and the gifts I was given, I used every last drop of it. Give the grave only bones. And so I encourage you today, think about your life. We're not just asking for money up here. I want you to leave here with this idea of generosity as something that can change our community. Each of us have gifts that the person sitting next to you doesn't have. We each have a part to play here, and if every single one of us begin to do our part, then amazing things happen. When one person's using their gifts and playing their part and nobody else is, you know what happens to that person? They get exhausted. But when we all work together, we can see something so much greater take place. You know, I don't want to waste my days here. That's my goal. I want to use every single day and every drop of it be given to God. And I think all of us should want that. And it's not always fun, and it always doesn't look great, but I promise you, if you get up to heaven and God says, well done, my good and faithful servant, it's all going to be worth it. Amen? I know that's what we want. That's what our heart wants, is for that to happen. And the reason we should be able to decide to give and to reach out into our community, we serve a God who's already given us everything. If we would take a minute and just realize, he already gave us everything that we need. He gave his only son. Why? Because he loved us. We serve a God who loves us, who gives us everything we need. And that God who's full of love, it's not just for us. We're supposed to take it out there and share it. Our true Christianity is going to be proven by what goes on outside those doors. So I encourage you today, just take this to heart. We can, like I said, cheer for ourselves and say, yay, look at all we've done. But if we leave it in here, then it doesn't make a difference. What it is what you're taking out there into your job and taking out there into your family. We're taking it out into the school system. And if we each begin to affect the areas that we have influence in, our community begins to change. How many of you would love to see God take hold of Screven County? I would. And I think it can happen. But it's not going to happen without us playing our part. God uses our hands and our feet to go out there and make a difference. So, you know, you have the opportunity today to decide to be generous, but you also have the opportunity today to decide that you want to take a relationship with this God seriously. You know, and we never go through a service without giving you an opportunity. And maybe talking about generosity has opened your heart today. Or maybe you have stuff going on in your life, you're carrying that burden around, and you realize, you know what? Today's the day I need to let go of that and truly let God be God. Let him be Lord of my life. And so I just want you to take a minute, just close your eyes and just think about that for a moment. Today can be your opportunity to find healing. Today can be your opportunity to find hope. Today can be your opportunity to find value, just like those kids with Project 216. They realize they're valued. That may be for you today. So if you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, if you've never gone to God and say, God, I want to serve you and follow you, or maybe you've been running for a while, you've left God, and today's the day you want to come back, I want to give you the opportunity to do that today. If you would raise your hand, if you say, that's me, I need to come back to God today, or I need to meet him for the first time, just go ahead and raise your hand. I see those hands. All right, let's all pray this together. God, I thank you today for your love for me. I thank you, God, that you gave your son to die for me. And God, I believe today that Jesus Christ rose from the dead and did it for me. I choose today to make him Lord of my life. I choose today to serve him with everything that I have. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you prayed that today, or you're online and you prayed that with us, we just want to say welcome to the family. If you're here and you want to grab a connection card and fill that out, we would love to have that information. But I wanted to pray for one more thing today. We talked about God being able to heal us and God being able to take away our burden. So if you wouldn't mind just closing your eyes. And if that's you, if that kind of struck your heart as I was talking about it, that you've been carrying around some wounds, you've been carrying around some things that have happened in your past, if you would raise your hand, we want to just pray with you. We're not going to bring you to the front or anything, but I just want to be able to pray with everyone here. We've all gone through stuff in our life, and I see all those hands out there. All right, let's pray one more time. Father God, I thank you right now for each and every hand that was lifted. Lord God, I thank you that ultimately it's your generosity that opens our hearts up, Lord God. I thank you that when we serve you, we can let go of our past, Father God. I pray for each and every person that raised their hand, God, that today would be a day that changes their lives. Father God, that they leave this building with a freedom, Father God. They leave this building with the weight gone from their shoulders. That they would walk out of here today knowing that you are in charge and that you can provide everything that they need. Lord God, that you love them and that you would walk beside them. Father God, I thank you. Lord, it says in your word, when we cast our burdens and our cares on you, we do it because you care for us. Lord, I thank you for your care and your love for each and every one of these people. I thank you today, Father God, that they would walk in freedom and not look back. God, I thank you that you would go behind them in victory, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, now's the fun part. We get to give for Project 216. So if you came today ready to give into that offering, we want to say thank you for that. But if you didn't come ready to give, if you didn't even know about it, it's not too late. You can give at a future date and just mark it Project 216. You can give online or give on the app. And if you just mark it Project 216, every single dollar of that goes into that. But we also, at this same time, will be taking up our regular tithes and offerings. So if you want to just grab all of that.